Acts chapter number 5 tonight. I'm not going to be long, really. I just want to share something with you. I thought this was wonderful. The Lord kind of showed it to me after the chapter 4 where we were this morning. And the resurrection has taken place. And Jesus has talked to his disciples. He's met with his disciples. And now Jesus has went back and the Holy Spirit's come. And they were endued with power from on high. And they weren't endued with power so they could put on a show. They were endued with power because there was a job that needed to be done. And powerless people can't do the job that needs to be done. Amen. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight. I really don't have a title for the message. Maybe it'll come later. But I have a text and I want to show you a couple things tonight. First of all, in Acts chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible said, then the high priest rose up. Let me go back here just a minute. In Acts chapter 4, and in verse number 1, where I started reading this morning, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So this is kind of a repeat occurrence here. They've risen up again. The high priest rose up. And all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Do you remember over here in chapter 4, they threatened them? How many remembers that? But in chapter 5, it's getting a little bit more serious what they're doing now. They've laid their hands on them and they put them in the common prison. But I like what the Bible said here. The Bible said in verse number 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this lie. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without the doors, before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. In verse 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles, they answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And how many remembers where the scripture said in John chapter 1, to the Jew first? How many remember that? Need to remember that in the Bible, to the Jew first. The Jews require a sign. What did God give them in Acts chapter 3? When that lame man got up, amen, went leaping through the temple. God gave him a sign, amen. And you're going to see a transition in the book of Acts over about chapter number 10 with Cornelius. When God sends Peter down to the house of Cornelius, God tells Peter, don't you call anything that I've made common or unclean, amen. And God helps him to understand that the gospel is going to go to the Gentile. But here it is, he said to Israel, give repentance to Israel. And the reason I wanted to make a point of that is because here in chapter number 5, the Jew first. God is making it to the Jew first. And we are his witnesses these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them obey him. When they heard that, I love this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. I'm going to be honest with you. How many will help me right here? We don't see much cutting to the heart in this generation. For whatever the reason, we do not see much cutting to the heart. Am I right or am I wrong? But here, the power was there. And they, when they heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart. And now they don't want to just talk to them. They don't want to just lock them up. They don't want to just beat them. But the Word of God said they took counsel to slay them. I want you to see that. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. Then stood there one in the council of Pharisees named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas and boasted himself to be somebody, and whom a number of men, about 400, they joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel, this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's pray just a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this text. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts, even in this generation, with this challenge that's laid before us today. Lord, we know today that, Lord, we're part of the wonderful body of Christ, the church of the living God. We've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help us to understand our position, our responsibility in you. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was coming down here in the bottom of the text here, the lower part of the text or the last part of the text. And the Bible said, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I believe that's the right thing to do, don't you? I believe when we get together here, we ought to be talking about Jesus. Brother Jeff was teaching in the Sunday school. We had a great Sunday school over in the fellowship hall this morning, the 18 to 30-year-old class. And Brother Jeff was talking about witnessing and being a witness. And I tell you what, if we're going to talk here, we need to talk about him. If we're going to talk out there, we need to talk about him. Amen? And we need to exalt him. But let me give you, I think it's five things the Lord showed me down through this text real quickly. And I believe these things are still in place today. Number one, there's resistance. Anytime that someone desires to do what is right in the eyes of God, there's going to be resistance. Y'all believe that? Amen. The Bible said here, the high priest rose up, all they that were with him, and they were filled with indignation. There was resistance. We saw it on down through the text that there was resistance. And there's still resistance. The Bible said only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I don't know. I heard this years ago, and I won't be dogmatic about it. But it seems like that the Holy Spirit of God, we know that when the rapture takes place, he's taken out of the way. But it almost seems like there's a slow withdrawal as far as his influence on this society that we live in and this world. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. I heard Brother Brian teaching one morning. He was talking about how that people used to really reverence and respect the house of God. They wouldn't even come around it without showing the respect that ought to be shown. And nowadays, it's hard to tell what they'll do back here. Amen? But I'm telling you, I believe there was a resistance, and there is a resistance, and there will be a resistance to Jesus comes, to the message of the gospel that God's people are to be involved in spreading. Now, not only do I see resistance here, and I could preach a while on that, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to give it to you tonight. There's going to be resistance. You go down the job, you make up your mind you're going to live for God. I'll tell you right now, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to know the same God that you know, going to be glad to pray with you, have a little Bible study with you, going to be glad to be identified with you. But how many knows everybody's not? Amen. You're going to face some resistance. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we act like that's something new. Amen. But there's going to be resistance. Down at the school, there's going to be resistance. Down at the job, there's going to be resistance. Out going door to door and out in the community, there's going to be resistance to the truth of the Word of God. But then there's a request. Look at this right here. And after the angel of the Lord came by night and opened the prison door. Let me just stop and say this. I get happy when I look at that. I believe God has set an open door before us right here. I believe our God opens doors that no man can shut. And I believe our God shuts doors that no man can open. I tell you, I don't feel like in Bloomingdale I'm standing at a closed door. I feel like I'm standing at an open door. God wants us to step through and do what God wants us to do. There's a request. What was the request of the disciples? God didn't just let them out so that they could go to the Holiday Inn. God let them out and he said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Let me say this to you. How many believes God told us the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? How many believes that? How many believes if God told us to live by every word, he gave us every word? I don't believe God tell you to do something and then not give you the means to do it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that the Bible said here there's a request being made to go, to stand, and speak all the words of this life. When they heard that, the Bible said they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. They got at it. What God told them to do, they got at it. There was resistance and there was a request. But thank God, look on down here with me, there's results. When people are mindful of what God has requested of them, then there is results as a result of obedience to the Lord. He said, preacher, where do you see the results? Well, it said, verse 28, didn't we not command you that you should not teach in his name? You know, for fear of, or lack of a better way to put it, with those men that were filled with the Holy Ghost, that went in one ear and out the other. Amen? They weren't concerned about what these men were telling them because they were too concerned about what God had told them. And it wasn't what they were hearing in their ears that had them all stirred up. It's what they're hearing in their heart that had them all stirred up. Amen? And the Bible said here, watch what they did. Look at the results. He said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. I see here a commission, and they have obeyed that commission. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not fussing, but in the average church in America, it's no longer the Great Commission. It's the Great Omission. Amen. People are not worried about sending missionaries. They're not worried about giving somebody a gospel tract. They're not worried about telling somebody about Jesus. And I tell you something right now, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. That's what the Word of God said. So there's results here in the Word of God. You fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. I'll tell you something right now, it'd be a blessing to get accused of that one of these days around Bloomingdale. Amen. Y'all filled this place with. By the way, let me just say this. Remember, this is what they said. This is what those priests said and the Sadducees said. They said, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with that statement? There is. You want to know why? It wasn't their doctrine. It was his. If they'd have got it right, they'd have said, you filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. It's his word. It's his teaching. Amen. And so then we see the results. And then not only do we see the commission, but we see that they were cut to the heart. I believe that right now. The Bible said, Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And by the way, I'm looking at these verses right here. Seems to me like Peter was making it pretty personal. He said, like, I'm looking at you. This Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You did it. And God has exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. We're his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, the word of God said they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. I'm going to tell you something right now. A person will either get mad or they'll get glad when they hear the truth. Amen. It'll cut on them. Amen. So we see the results. But let me give you this. Just a couple more things and I'm done. You can mark this down as the world record shortest sermon that Brother Vinoy ever preached. Amen. Look here. The Bible said refrain from these men. And they departed from the presence of the council. What's that next word? Rejoicing. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe when we see resistance, yes, it's going to be there. When we see a request, God said for us to go and stand and speak, and we see the results, I believe there's going to be some rejoicing along the way. Now, this is just me personal. But I can't help but believe, Brother Randy, that Peter was just about as happy about that lame man as that lame man was. Say amen. I'm telling you, the next best thing to getting some help yourself is just seeing somebody else get some help. How many of you all this morning, if it had been one of your youngins or grand youngins, got some help, you could have put a little spring in your step too. Amen. I tell you, there's some rejoicing going on when the Word of God is having free course and cutting to the heart the way that God wants it to cut. I believe that. There's rejoicing. And what were they rejoicing in? Well, like I said, I believe they were rejoicing because of the results. But watch this now. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Down there at the job, when somebody gives you a good blessing out, you ever had one? You ever been called everything but a Christian? Amen. I tell you, it hurts, don't it? Somebody in your family say something to you in a negative way, mock you, make fun of you, it hurts. And what these men did is not easy, but I believe it's what we ought to do. We ought to rejoice that we're counted worthy, that we're living close enough anyway that somebody is upset about it. We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice. There's men in this church, I'm not going to name names. I've only been around here about a year. There's men in this church, it don't matter hardly who you talk to. Boy, they're solid. Boy, they're straight. You know what that is? That's a reputation. You know what it took to build that? It took some time. Say amen. And I'll tell you what it took walking with God. Amen. And just as sure as some has taken notice and they like it, there's others taking notice and they can't stand it because it bothers them. All of us can remember. Brother Anthony, before 2 years ago, you didn't like being around people walking close to Jesus. You had a way of getting away from them, didn't you? Amen. They brought conviction in your heart. Amen. You didn't want it at that time. Amen. And so there's rejoicing. But let me give you this and I'm done. I see there's resolve. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They just kept on doing what God told them to do. They had been locked up. They had been threatened. They had been locked up. They had been beaten. But they just kept on doing and kept on doing. Now listen tonight. I'm not trying to be dramatic tonight. But I'm telling you, if something don't happen in our country, there may come a day when we don't have as much liberty to talk about Him as we have today. Amen. But I tell you what God's men going to do. They're just going to keep on telling all the words of this life. Amen. And there may be a price to pay for it. But I believe God's people will do the same thing. I don't believe we'll trim the message. Amen. To fit society. Peter didn't do it. And I don't believe the Holy Spirit would have us to do it in this generation. So I see the message going out. There's resistance. Oh, yes. There's a request. Oh, yes. There's results. Please listen. The Bible said we will reap if we faint not. There'll be results. Amen. I tell you, I believe that in this generation, we may be, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, they weren't getting saved by the multitudes in the days of Noah. How many knows that? There was only eight that got on that boat. And I tell you what, the average person, when they examined that story, would say Noah was a failure. But Noah wasn't a failure. He got his family in. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, we need to get back to seeing the results that God wants us to see. We need to rejoice. And then we need to have some resolve about us. I like to see results. Don't you? I like to see results. How many knows that we've been working and we've been inviting and we've been praying? Amen. I don't believe that people just show up. Amen. I believe somebody is working and somebody is praying. And I believe we just got to keep on and keep on and keep on keeping on until the Master comes and takes us home. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? And wouldn't that be good? I pray tonight that God will just help us. Daily in the temple, here in the church. This is not a temple, but it is the church. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's the teaching and preaching that'll get the job done. Amen. Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that after the resurrection, it wasn't time to lay down. It wasn't time to quit. It was time, Lord, to get at it. And the disciples did exactly that. I praise you, Lord, for the stories that we see in the Bible. They encourage our hearts. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we as a church would be encouraged tonight. Lord, that we'd stay by the stuff and just continue on. Help us, Lord, to have a good revival. Help us, Lord, to get out here the next visitation and in between and invite them to revival. Invite them to Bible school. Just help us, Lord, to just stay after it. And, Lord, trust you with the results. Lord, our job is just to be obedient. Help us, Lord, to do that. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.